All right, we are live with the first ever episode of Breaking with Brian Bonilla. Brian, how are you doing today? How's life?
Yeah, it's all good, man. I mean, Super Bowl's coming up. It's, you know, I tell people, like, if you have friends in advertising, just check in on them, you know, during this week. Just send prayers, say hello, say hi to them, because it's a tough one. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's exciting. It's a pinnacle. I think we all know that in this advertising show. I want to introduce this new thing that we're doing, Brian, and correct me if I'm wrong. And this is the vision. I think it's, you know, bi-weekly is the goal. Conversations with you. You are the expert. We're going to talk about a variety of different subjects, breaking in the industry to keep our audience, whoever it might be, right? Because it might bring in some new people. Mm-hmm. So they know what's going on, because you are the expert. You're a senior reporter at Ad Age. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah. And, you know, to that point, like, well, first, I'm just excited to just do this. And, you know, I know we filmed our podcast a few months ago, but, you know, this is when we talked about this, like, I just thought it was a really interesting idea. And, you know, it's smart because, you know, the advertising industry does have a lot of moving parts to it. And, you know, the idea is I will be, you know, speaking with you biweekly. But, you know, there might be times where we hop on, you know, because something breaking happened or something interesting is happening during a week or two or whatever month. And so, you know, yeah, I think, and what's interesting, I cover agencies, and what that allows me to do is just be really focused on pretty much all aspects of the industry, because agencies are, you know, agencies and brands just make the industry move. So I get a lot of senses of, like, what's happening just from covering this beat. So yeah, I'm excited.
It's my favorite beat. I'm passionate about agencies too. I think everybody should start off at an agency in advertising and then figure out from there. So I'm with you. We share that passion point. And I'm not an expert in coverage and journalism, so I want to make that very clear. Just been podcasting for about 4 years now consistently. So it's really about us kind of just talking about what's happening in the industry. And the subject today, we're recording this, it is Saturday, February 10th, around 3 p.m. Central Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time. So the big thing, and, you know, the big conversation now is the big game. And
right,
the industry is covering it. I think all the ad trades are covering it. It's to be expected. It's the biggest time of the year for advertising. So we're going to put our little high-level takes, and I think we'll kind of tease into it from the episode title. We're going to be talking about the non-celebrity ads to look out for this Super Bowl. Yeah. And we'll get into all of that, ads to look out for. But first, you know, I want to talk about what you're doing for the game. What are you, you know, being a reporter at Ad Age, are you locking yourself in a quiet cubby? Are you like live tweeting? Are you going to go live? Are you with friends? Are you engaging in that Super Bowl party atmosphere? I want to know what you're doing, Brian.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's a good question. And, like, I'm curious, you know, I want to do a story on, like, what everyone else, like, in the industry does, like, just on Super Bowl day, because it is unique to us, right? Like, even you probably have experience. Like, for me, like, I do have to be aware of what's happening. You know, I can't really go to the bathroom much, you know, so you got to kind of pick and choose. I actually have to go to the bathroom probably during the game, which the sports fan in me hates that. But
oh, yeah. Yeah. Like, all right. Yeah. Like, the game's on. It's like the game is the commercial.
Yeah, exactly.
For us.
True. The past few years, I've been doing, like, a more low-key Super Bowl thing. Just, you know, I like to live tweet very often. So
do you
just
have your laptop out, like, with a small group? Like, you're going?
I have it next to me. I try, you know, like, I don't want to be that guy where it's like, all right. Like, I don't want to, because, you know, it's not like I'm typing something all the time. But, like, I'm more on my phone, like, tweeting things. And this year, actually, Tim Nutt, our creativity editor, he's going to go live. He's going live on Instagram with just different creatives across the industry, different execs, but also, like, other reporters. And, you know, like, he's been him along with other editors have been just doing a lot of the heavy lifting on the Super Bowl coverage. So I'm excited for that as well. But this year, I might end up going to an actual real party this year. So I'm debating. We'll see how it goes. But
A lot of the time, I mean, now it seems that all the ads are out already. And especially for you, I'm sure agencies are sending you the ads and Ad Age the ads way ahead of time. So it's not like, would you say that you're ever surprised by an ad that your team hasn't heard of? Does anything kind of like try to surprise you, or do you expect that?
Sometimes, you know, it's inevitable, right? Like, you can't cover everything. And, you know, that goes for the news in general, but especially with Super Bowl, there are brands that want, you know, the surprise factor,
some people like that. Yeah. I've heard that. Like, why can't there be like that surprise moment? But
right. Well, I think like you look at like, you know, like the Tubi ad where, by Mischief, where like it pranked everybody, it pranked me. You know, it's like that. I don't know if that works. I don't know if that works if people know about it, right? Like, you know, ahead of time. So I do think it makes sense for certain brands to keep it a secret.
Yeah.
And this year, I think I've watched more of the ads than I usually do. So I have seen a lot more of them than years past. But I try to, you know, keep some surprises for myself as well, you know?
Yeah, Jim. Love that. And there's also something new in your world that we talked about beforehand. You might be watching the Puppy Bowl this year. Is that accurate? And maybe you can explain why would you want to watch the Puppy Bowl this year, other than the fact that it's amazing?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, just great content. But yeah, I just got a new puppy 2 weeks ago, and her name is Moxie. She's a mini Australian Shepherd. And, you know, I've never owned a dog. I've always owned cats, and this is just like a nice switch up, and it's been like just learning a lot. And as I have a dog now, like, I appreciate how much effort goes into like taking care of these dogs. And I might see the Puppy Bowl. I might try to watch it. I told my girlfriend we should check it out, you know. So
we gotta share some pictures of Moxie then, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I shared pictures with you at the time. We could have put it up on the screen.
Maybe we'll put them up on social. Or
Cool.
Nice. We'll keep in touch with Moxie's development. How old?
She is a little over 3 months now.
Okay.
We should just have like a Moxie tracker at the bottom, just like every month. But she's 3 months, so she's excited all the time.
Love it. And another thing, you know, before we dive into the ads, I think I'm pretty sure Usher is going to be the halftime performer. We know that. Yeah. So we have to do a quick, you know, I got to ask you, what's the first song? What are you predicting for a song by Usher is going to be?
I think, you know, it can't be his main hits yet, right? Like, I think if you're an opener, you got to hit something that everyone knows, but isn't like, you know, one of your top five, right? So I think, Oh My God, you know, that song. Oh
yeah.
God. Yeah. Like that. I think that's a great opener.
A little bit more.
Yeah. No, I didn't write it. So I didn't, but no, it's like, I think that's a great opener.
You think that's going to be it? OMG.
Excited. Yeah. What do you think?
I mean, I was going to go with, yeah. But that, I feel like that's what everybody expects. I'm going to go safe bet. It's going to be, yeah, it's a basic answer, but
I mean, why not, right? It's a crowd pleaser. You get started.
I don't know that many Usher songs.
Well, I mean, I feel that, right? Because he spanned like 2 decades like of music.
Didn't he discover Justin Bieber?
Yes, it was him. Yeah, and then Ludacris will come out, I think.
You think JB will come out?
Why not? Right. I think you got to do it. I think it'd be interesting to see, like, because you got to pack in a legacy in like 10, 15 minutes. Right. So, like, it'd be interesting to see what he decides. And, you know, Usher as an independent artist now, I think it's interesting, you know, to see that first independent artist, I think, to be at to host Super Bowl.
Halftime show. I didn't know that. That's good to know.
Well, he bought his own catalog from his label.
Nice.
Yeah.
Interesting. I'm curious then also want to know, what do you think? I'm surprised question. What is the best halftime show you've seen or you saw videos of? What, and then what's your favorite Super Bowl ad of all time?
That's interesting. Favorite halftime show. I mean, I will say the hip hop one that we saw recently with Dr. Dre, you know, Eminem, you know, Snoop Dogg, 50 Cent.
Yeah, that was good.
That was like, to me, to just see hip hop front and center was a really big moment. For me, someone who grew up on it, obviously you can tell by my background, it's a big deal for, like, it is something that influenced my life heavily. So I think that was my favorite. In terms of favorite ads, you know, it's hard, right? Because there's, you know, there's ads that, like, I've watched after they con out because, like, they're so relevant culturally. Like the Mean Joe Green ad with the Coke. And, like, that's something that I didn't even know about. I didn't watch it. Because that was during the 80s. I didn't watch that necessarily, but I saw it like on like Family Guy, like a parody or like, you know, like it's something that you were just aware of.
Yep.
But the one ad I do remember growing up and was really fond of was the Puppy Monkey Baby.
Yes!
Ad. Yes. You know, I mean,
that's my favorite too.
Is it?
Awesome.
Is it really?
That is my number one.
Really? That's so funny.
It's so cringe and weird and like absurd. Yeah. I remember I interviewed Barry Wilhelmy. She's at Apple now. She was at like a lead recruiter at Wyden. And I was interviewing her. I brought that up and she's like, oh yeah, my husband made that ad at the time. Yeah. And I like freaked out. And I remember being in high school when I saw that. And my like, our like teacher showed it, and I was like, at that moment, that was one of the pivotal moments where I was like, I wanted to create stuff like that for a living. That ad was, and he was saying how crazy it was and ridiculous, but we were talking about it and we were all laughing about it.
No, and like, it's funny, like, you're talking about David Lubars, is that right? Or is that,
is it David?
Different creative.
I'm sure you know how that goes. There's like a team, and
I know, right? Yeah,
I'm sure she was a. Barry's husband was like a part of that in some way, shape, or form.
Oh, yeah. No, I just, what I was saying was I remember talking to David about it, you know, and yeah, it's one of those that I think was polarizing, surprisingly. I think, like, you know, I just remember it caught my attention, right? And I think that was the point, right? Like, I think whether you thought it was stupid or whether you thought it was genius or like hilarious, like, that's the point.
And we have to remember, like, we have to remember that the Super Bowl is watched at parties, and we might actually get into this conversation about how do you kind of capture the attention of everybody across the world potentially, if there's loud environments and they're not as ingrained in the commercials. That ad definitely was able to pull the attention away. So we got to give that kudos. So I'm with you there, and. You know, I want to now like kind of transition and, you know, because I agreed. I was going to say the same thing. My favorite halftime show easily was Prince because I'm a Bears fan. I believe that was 2007. Prince performing Purple Rain in the rain with my team.
Good,
Oh my goodness. The guitar solo, just him. I kind of like that. It was like eyes on him and it was just beautiful. I think there's like a lot of rankings out there too that you can probably Google people's opinions. It's like the number one. And I don't know, just having Lovie Smith, Lovie Smith coached at University of Illinois when I was there. So Bears fan, love that one. If anybody doesn't remember that one, 2007, Google it, do yourself a favor, watch it. It's beautiful.
That was great. No, that was a great one. Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about this year's Super Bowl. Because Bears aren't in it. Sure. What sports team are you a fan of?
Giants. So, you know.
Oh, Tommy DeVito.
Tommy DeVito.
That's my guy.
Honestly. what do you think of? Interesting, like, just the fact that, like, you know.
Tommy Cutlets.
You can go from not being known to just, like, being a marketing like someone, something that can be marketable and like just, and still, and play well, you know, it's like, I don't know. I just, it's hilarious.
I know. I love that. So Giants aren't in it. Tommy DeVito's not in it. My Bears are not in it.
No Cutlets.
No Cutlets. His agent's not in it. But, you know, what are you, you know, back to the kind of like the Super Bowl. What are we seeing ad wise? What's the trend? We've seen the Crypto Bowl. Like, I think there's like Beer Bowl potentially in the past couple years. They kind of like jump up with these recurring themes personified by what's consistently shown. So what are you predicting? Like, is there a name for this year already? What are the trends to look out for? Tell me about what you guys have been seeing over at Ad Age and in your own perspective.
Yeah, there's, you know, I've had conversations with executives around the industry, and, you know, a lot of them, you know, I've been doing this for 2 years, so it's not, I'm not here like acting like, oh, back in the 90s, I know how people used to think about these ads. No, but, you know, from talking to these executives who've done this for a long time, I have heard more of a positive sentiment on these ads this year than I've heard in the past 2 years. And, you know, granted, like, I know the pandemic, maybe that, you know, like, maybe people were just not feeling it, right? Like, maybe it just wasn't top of mind, like Super Bowl and ads and things like that. But I don't know. I think like, I think there's way more comedy. Obviously, there's always comedy, but I think like comedy is a big factor this year. I think the celebrity usage has increased surprisingly. But for me, like, just, I'm calling this the snack bowl, like personally, like it's, snack, you know, bowl. There's so many snack brands, surprising snack brands that are, you know, spending the high, you know, price point, you know, estimated at $7 million an ad to, you know, promote like these snacks, you know, like there's Nerds, you know, Reese's, Oreos, Doritos, Dinamita, you know, there's Drumstick, which I don't think anyone could have predicted is, you
with know, Eric Andre and the Drumstick.
With Eric Andre. Yeah, it's like, who would have thought? Like, obviously snacks are part of Super Bowl culture, but I think to the extent that we're seeing so many brands is really interesting.
I mean, it kind of makes sense to me. If you think about the population and the audience, everybody loves a good snack. I think it does play. I just wonder, like, I haven't done enough research or I haven't really thought about it. Like, is there, why now? Why are these brands engaging in the snack bowl now? Like, I don't know. Do you have any like takes on why you think these snacks are doing this today?
You know, I think, you know, what I found interesting, right? Doritos is they're not promoting their typical brand, right? They're promoting their like side brand or new brand. You know, Poppy is another one that is, you know, Poppy soda. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, you know, and Drumstick, you know, like, I think what people are seeing is like, now's kind of the time to maybe reemerge as a brand or promote something new. I think, you know, you look at the past few years, like crypto, I think last year was a big topic last year. So you don't want to get crowded. You don't want to get like ignored amid, you know, all these crypto ads. I think there's a sense of people want kind of just happy ads right now. And I think with that, you know, I think it makes sense for snacks to appear, you know?
And also, yeah. if one snack brand, potentially, just thinking out loud here, finds out that Nerds is doing it, maybe then Lint wants to join in. I don't know if there's a direct connection there, but it might have a domino effect if they catch wind. They might want to jump in too.
Yeah, and Lint to me is a surprise. I mean, Lindor chocolates, you know, like I would never have guessed that, you know, in a million years. And they're not, you know, they're not
Valentine's Day is coming
right,
up.
Valentine's Day. Yeah, that's a good point. Like they're also like these ads, if you look at them, they're going for it. They're not, you know, playing it safe, all of them, you know, like
Drumstick, like hiring, especially.
Right.
Reese's.
I mean, having Eric on it. Yeah.
Gotta give my guy Eric Coleman a shout out on Reese's, you know, no use of celebrity in that one either, which we're going to get to. Well,
yeah.
Which I love.
And then, you know, other, yeah, other trends, like I'm thinking about, like, well, just me personally, like Suits, you know, the TV show Suits.
Popped off this year.
Popped off, which, like, is so funny. I saw it. I watched it. I binged it last year, I think it was.
Oh, you, before the
so I was early. So I was early is to this.
Is it good? I never watched. I didn't watch it. I haven't watched.
Really, no, you should watch it. It's one of those shows that, like, you know, you don't take it too seriously, but it's good. It's good. You know, and like,
I don't want to learn about another industry though. I feel like I want to immerse myself in Mad Men again if I'm going to do it.
Oh, you want to go deep is what you're saying? Or
yeah, like I don't want to learn, like billions as well caught wind in college. And I'm like, I'm trying to lock in on this ad stuff. I'm going to binge watch. Like, I don't want to learn about lawyer stuff.
I don't think it's one of those shows that goes that deep in it. Okay. Like, I think it's more like, you know, I don't know. I think it's a bingeable show. It's one of those shows that, like, you just
good,
like,
characters,
you can
story.
Keep watching it.
Yeah.
And there's always a resolution and how it works out.
How many ads this year are there multiple Suits references, or is there, because right. I saw one, I forgot which one it was.
There's two, but what's funny, it's like,
that's $14 million. So, at least.
Right, that's worth it. And not. What's funny, it's that you know, they got a resurgence because of Netflix buying the rights to the show, and it happened during the writer's strike, you know, and I think that was also part of it, where people were looking for shows. Maybe there was a lag in how many new shows were coming out.
Good point.
And Netflix buys Suits, and it just skyrockets, and these characters that haven't, you know, maybe been on screen for a few years are all of a sudden on in these Super Bowl ads. Elf Beauty. So Elf Beauty has an ad featuring multiple characters. Yeah.
Yes.
You saw that?
The Judge Judy.
Yeah, Judge Judy. So Elf Beauty's doing that. It
looks good on that ad.
Looks good, you know, good. And
yeah. She's still got it.
You know, it has three characters in there. You know, and this is kind of messed up. I kind of just know them by their name, so I'm just going to reference. Mm-hmm. Like, Louis Slit is the lawyer character in there. And Donna, who plays, like, a secretary who kind of knows everything, and she's more than a secretary. She's, like, the operator in the law firm. She's on there. You know, and Jessica Pearson, the actress that plays Jessica Pearson, reprises her role. And it's, like, a fun ad. You know, it doesn't take itself too seriously. And then the second ad to feature Suits characters is actually T-Mobile. Mm-hmm. And this story I wrote, I interviewed the agency Panay Films. I don't know if you're too familiar with them.
No, but I haven't heard of them before.
It's interesting. They, Andrew Panay, he's a producer from Hollywood. He produced Wedding Crashers. That was like one of his biggest films.
Nice.
He
created, love it.
The idea for that and all that. And he did Wedding Crashers, Hot Tub Time Machine. You know, a lot of comedies, some dramas as well. And so he started an agency, I don't even know now, like I think 10 years ago, maybe longer. I don't know the exact number, but they've been around, and they are known for having that connection to Hollywood. They're capable of, they know these celebrities personally.
Right.
It's not the same as an agency that maybe has to call an agent. Like Andrew Panay, he hangs out with these people.
Right.
And all that. So they've done a lot of the T-Mobile Super Bowl ads in the past. You know, think about Tom Brady and Gronkowski. You know, they were trying to call each other and they had that misconnection. That was them. And this year they have two T-Mobile ads. One is a continuation of the, you know, the Scrubs guys.
Yep.
Yeah. So Zach Braff and Faison, I'm messing up the name. Donald Faison, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, they've done their musical ads for the past 3 years, and they were in the Super Bowl last year. And this year they're in an ad with Jason Momoa, Aquaman. There's a little bit of nostalgia in there because there's a reference to Flashdance, that 80s movie. And Jennifer Beals, who starred in Flashdance, makes an appearance at the end. And She's in the Jason Momoa, like, recreates that scene, you know, where there's like water sprinkling down, and there's the chair. She's on the chair, whatever.
Yeah.
So there's that one, but then they also just released on Friday another T-Mobile spot that will be in the game, where there's like six or so celebrities auditioning to be the next like T-Mobile spokesperson. And this is promoting their like Magenta loyalty program. It's a new loyalty program for the carrier. And within that, when there's Common, you know, he's doing an impression of Denzel Washington in Training Day. There's Bradley Cooper and his mom. Again, they were in the Super Bowl last year.
My parents love that one.
Yeah. I thought it was authentic. It was nice. And they came there back. Jennifer Hudson. And within that, you know, the two main actors from, you know, Suits are also in there.
Back and, to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly. And that was largely unscripted. They had an outline, but a lot of that was the celebrities themselves given the free reign to come up with stuff, you know,
like a Curb Your Enthusiasm style. I think that's how they kind of operate that show.
Yeah. And it was, you're right. Actually, they do. And, you know, like some of that were in celebrity homes, like Bradley Cooper's home and, you know, Laura Dern, that was her home. And Bradley Cooper's juggling apples. And like, those are apples that he actually had in his house. And he was kind of improvising, you know? So, Suits Bowl, I'm, you know, and beyond the Super Bowl, like, we saw the actor that plays Louis Leigh also in an ad for, I don't know if you saw this one. This was from Gray, the agency Gray. It was for just a law, like, management tool company. But it was really funny, and he was in an ad for them. And T-Mobile said that, told me personally, that they're going to be launching more ads with the Suits guys in the future. So
look at that.
I don't think it's going away.
The suits are going.
Yeah.
Why not? I like that. So we got Snack Bowl, Suits Bowl, but there's stuff going on. I think is definitely like we want to cover is beyond the screen, and actually beyond the Super Bowl. Of course, there are a couple brands that are doing some interesting work that we have to mention. What's going on beyond the screen, beyond the Super Bowl, Brian?
Yeah, I think this is probably the most interesting thing about the Super Bowl nowadays. It's that conversation of like, yes, of course, you're going to have the ultimate reach that any ad can have. I believe it's like 113 million viewers in one night. But at the same time, like, you're spending $7 million. You want to maximize the opportunity that you get for your ad.
Oh, yeah.
So a lot of, we are seeing people go, you know, beyond the screen. I think the biggest one in terms of coverage so far in the news, and, you know, I think the one I'm looking forward to the most is DoorDash. They are, you know, working with the different brands within the Super Bowl to actually, you know, it's like a giant sweepstakes. So once the DoorDash ad pops up, people will be able to access through a QR code or website link. They can submit, you know, their name, and whoever wins, it'll be one winner. They get like a memorabilia from FanDuel, right? The FanDuel ad with Gronkowski. They can get, you know, a Kawasaki bike. They get different items from each other Super Bowl ads.
It's so smart. And the hijacking is genius.
Yeah. And it's smart. And then, you know, we're talking about Coinbase, and we're talking about, you know, Tubi earlier. You know, we're talking about FanDuel trying to interact with fans beyond the app. FanDuel working with Gronkowski to do the fantasy kick again is because they got a lot of people to sign up on their apps.
That conversion is so important. Yeah.
It is important. I think it helps marketers to know that there's some sort of ROI that they can address quickly, you know? I don't think it's going away.
No. And there's some stuff going on, like beyond the Super Bowl, brands are capitalizing. Liquid Death putting ads on their case for sale. Genius, of course, not surprised by Liquid Death, you know, being smart and strategic. Dano's actually capitalized on that as well. The bottom of their bottles, Dano's Spices, which is a big TikTok brand. I believe they got like their fame off TikTok. I could be wrong there, but they're selling to go off the Liquid Death where they're selling ads on their cases. Danos is putting something at the bottom of their spice bottles, which is a fun little riff off of that.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's more. There was that smart water we saw today, actually, Brian, we were talking about
right.
how smart water, like on LinkedIn, there was an ad on eBay by Smart Water where their Liquid Death is selling those ad slots, I believe. And there's a little back and forth between the two brands there. So more eyes, even without spending on the Super Bowl itself.
Well, I wanted to get your take on the Liquid Death stuff. I mean, everyone loves their marketing. Obviously, they're one of the common case studies for, you know, modern marketing. What was your opinion as someone in advertising, like of just that type of ad advertising?
My opinion is this: I can't speak for all of advertising, but from everybody I've talked to, you know, these guys, and I've interviewed Andy Pearson. I feel like he's been on every podcast now. He's so good at PRing and you know, he just gets marketing in general. They are a brand that started, they're advertisers at heart. They started in advertising. And I believe that they were like, I think it was Mike Cesario wanted to create good ads and created this brand. And there's so many podcasts, so many articles about them, how they're doing everything right. And I believe it's true. I think you can't argue the fact that they know their brand identity, they know their purpose, and they do it better than everybody, in my opinion. And I get jealous. You know, I wish brands would be, you know, brave about it. You know, every agency wants to work on Liquid Death. They want to work on brands that know that. So they're leading the way and we're seeing that it works, right? I think they're establishing themselves, at least with awareness. I'm not sure what the sales are looking like. So I'm all for it. I do, you know, some of it, you know, I see them so much just because I'm so ingrained in the industry. I follow you guys, follow all the ad trades. So I see it a lot.
Right.
I don't know if it's breaking through the public though. I'm talking through it the lens of, you know, a fan of this industry. So I would be curious to see what somebody that's not maybe in accounting or somebody in finance, what do they think about it too? If they're even seeing all this stuff.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's one of those things like, you know, I've had personal conversations with people about like where they brought it up, you know. Yep. Or people say like, you know, I saw that brand, you know, like I've had people saying they don't know like what the brand is, but they've seen it, you know, like it does vary. Like at the end of the day, like it's never going to be a perfect, you know, situation, but I don't know. Having brands out there are definitely important for the industry that are doing that type of work.
Oh yeah. I'm obsessed. So let's talk about, I think the big thing of this Super Bowl, and we've heard it, and I think it's been talked about. There's a lot of celebrities in the Super Bowl. Now to the main portion of this, we want to highlight, right, Brian? We want to highlight some of the non-celebrity ads to look out for this Super Bowl. And why, I want to put a little note on this. You know, I worked at a portfolio school and we were taught, you know, I saw the teachings there. Basically saying that using celebrities in ads is a kind of a cop-out. It's easy to write in Shaquille O'Neal and have him like own the brand. I'm not here to debate that. I just want to put that out there. I would love to hear your take on that too. I don't agree with that. I think if the celebrity aligns and it brings the brand forward, then sure. And plus it's the Super Bowl, so it's a special occasion where you need that familiarity. So I'm not here to debate that. I just want to bring that point up. I'd be curious if people want to write in, comment on LinkedIn, reach out to us, like their views on celebrities and ads. But that's not necessarily what we're talking about. We're talking about what are the ads that are not using them that are impressive to us.
Well, I think, and to your point, like, you know, so this Super Bowl has seen, I think, an increase in the usage of celebrities. And, you know, we are seeing celebrities become a bigger part of the marketing world. You know, celebrity-owned agencies are, you know, it's not a niche anymore. It's becoming a common thing, you know. Terry Crews launched an agency last year. I mean, you know, Ryan Reynolds, I mean, everything he touches turns to gold. I mean, you know, so it's more and more, I think the marketing industry has to learn how to work with celebrities because they're here to stay when it comes to how they are working with brands. But I think there can be that pressure if you have a celebrity on how to use them correctly. You know, it's not always like you put a spokesperson in. Sometimes, especially if it's the Super Bowl, you want to like make use of the fact that you did get this, you know, high profile celebrity. But on the other side, like, I do commend brands that are going about it, you know, without that celebrity, you know, push, right?
Because you better have a big idea. You better have it,
right?
It better be funny or it better break through emotionally. I think, yeah. And let's talk about those because those are important to me from a pure strategic craft point of view. If you're not using a celebrity, we definitely want to highlight like how they stood out. And there's a couple that we have on the list here. I think, do you want to kick us off with the first brand that you put on the list?
Yeah, I'll start and, you know, you can go from there. But Microsoft, to me, has an interesting ad that I think people should look out for. You know, we talked about the Crypto Bowl last year. There was a conversations, you know, I've had with people that are like, is it going to be the AI Bowl this year? Mm-hmm. Not quite, but there are elements of AI in, you know, the Super Bowl this year. It's not every other ad, but Microsoft, I think, took a really interesting approach this year. You know, they're actually returning for the first time in 4 years to the Super Bowl to promote. They have an AI assistant called Copilot, and the whole idea behind that was this element of "Watch Me." That's the name of the ad, and you know, it's like, oh, do you feel like you can't start your own business? Do you feel like you can't learn a new language? Do you feel like you can't get a degree? Watch me. You know, because I now have Copilot. And that's, I think, a good idea, big idea, like you said. And, you know, it conveys a message. And, you know, in a world where AI is increasingly a bigger part of what we do, it's going to be important how the messaging around these products are told to people.
Right.
And that was an ad where, you know, again, that was actually done by Panay Films, who's worked with Microsoft for years. They also work with McCann as in their roster of agencies.
Mm.
And, you know, when I was talking to Kathleen Hall, the chief brand officer of Microsoft, she was telling me that it wasn't just like, all right, let's make this ad. Panay had been working with and the Microsoft marketing internal team had been working with the engineers for, I think, like 7 months or something like that. Just on like different aspects of understanding what the tool is, like how should this be conveyed?
Yeah, because it showcased the uses of the AI Copilot, but also it kind of addresses there's fears and there's optimism around it, and there's a lot of confusion about how AI will influence the future, and people are worried about their jobs. And to me, this ad encapsulates how I truly feel about it, and I love it. And the proving, like the watch me, I think it's just a great strategy. You know, I tell students when I go talk to colleges and universities across the country, there's no excuse for you not to create something you love. Now, I created this podcast 4 years ago where AI, generative AI, wasn't as established. If there was no ChatGPT. And now I teach a class at the University of Illinois, which is about AI and advertising. And I actually, in one class, in about 20 minutes, I was able to, with AI and chat and Bard, and I kind of use all these different tools, I had them, you know, I had them brainstorm some different ideas of stuff that they loved. They didn't know what they were doing, but I had each person tell me out loud what's something you're passionate about. And we ended up boiling it down. I picked one student, and the student said she loves snowboarding in Colorado. So from there, we created a podcast and recorded it. And we actually created a logo, a concept, a script about snowboarding in Colorado in about 30 minutes.
Wow.
And it was so fun. And I was basically, the whole thing was saying, there's no excuse for you not to create something you love, because that can end up being your job full time if you stick with it. So I love that ad. It speaks to me so much about, like, you can do anything now. And of course, like, it allows you to open up and be more creative using it as a tool. I was obsessed with this ad, and I'm glad you kind of pointed that out.
Yeah. And you know, you mentioned, like, you love just the idea of AI. Like, when I was talking to Kathleen, like, that was something they found on in terms of research, was she labeled, there's this group of people out there called AI optimists, where there's people that maybe don't know about AI, but they want to know. They're not scared of it. They just don't know what it is, you know? And I think that's going to be important, you know, as we talk about AI and as we use AI. And, you know, I think it's a bold move for Microsoft to try to use the Super Bowl to launch this idea, you know?
Totally. And I think they did it in a really great way, that it's friendly and it's easy. Like, I wish my parents are retired. Like, I want my mom to, like, create something and stay busy, and, like, she can use this to, like, consult with retail, because she worked in retail for the longest time, and she thinks that she's done. She thinks that she's retired, and there's nothing, like, to learn, but there's so much you can do. So I hope she sees that and gets motivated as well.
Yeah. You know, do you want to keep going down the list?
Let's keep going.
Yeah. Do you want to do the next one, or you want to?
I think, kind of playing off that, you know, AI in a different light, right? There is use of AI, I believe, in this ad, is with Google. And, you know, the phone, what is it, Pixel?
Yeah,
or is it just Pixel more of 8. A, yeah, the Pixel 8. Disability, AI capabilities, appealing to ethos, or appealing to pathos. A guy with a disability of seeing of some sort, you know, using the Pixel to identify faces, and that feature that they have, it was basically announcing you have two faces in the camera frame, helping him like take better photos. We kind of saw this similar format though with Real Tone, I believe it was maybe 2 years ago. It was beautiful with Lizzo singing. I think I have to give a shout out to this Xanthi Wells, who's at Pinterest now, but she kind of helped with that, working with Gut, and they just did this one. So another beautiful use in demonstrating the power behind AI and the power of the Google Pixel phone, just done beautifully. And to tease it at the end, I think you guys should watch it. It's a beautiful moment. And
yeah. No, sorry. I was going to say, like, what I found interesting was, you know, they have a blind director telling the story, and to tell that story, they put, like, they blurred the lens, you know, using some sort of jelly. I forgot what it's called. So he can say, like, this is how I see the world, you know, and the phone tells you, like, oh, like, it'll like, using its voice on phone, it'll say, like, move a little closer this way, a little closer that way, so you can take good selfies, good pictures of your dog, you know, if you are, you know, vision impaired. And
Use case for AI, for being another argument for it being a good thing, and optimism around it. And yeah, like, no use of celebrities. Like, there's no need, like, because the story was, they had the insight, whatever it might have been, like, they address what's relevant, they address fears, the tension in the world, and created some really strong ads from it.
And to your point, like, the best performing ad, I believe the top of the ad meter last year, was Farmer's Dog. And that was no celebrities, that had an emotional story.
Yep.
And it's just, sometimes it is that simple, you know?
Yeah.
So sometimes it is that simple, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. We could talk for days about ad meter versus like the editorial favorite ads.
Right.
That's why we talked about Puppy Monkey Baby, because they always say the best way to have a high performing ad is to have a puppy, a monkey, or a baby.
Monkey and a baby. Yeah.
So they riffed off that as well. Next one on the list. Poppy, you put this one on. No use of celebrity. Poppy, what's the Poppy's competitor?
Olipop.
Olipop. These healthier sodas. Why did you put this one on the list, Brian?
Well, this was actually a last minute decision by Poppy to make it into the Super Bowl. I think it's really interesting. I think, look, the beverage category is interesting, but at the end of the day, you know, when it comes to soda, Coke does have a lion's share of that beverage industry. But we have started seeing these challenger brands like Poppy, like Olipop, start to, you know, get a lot of attention, especially as people care about health more than ever. I just thought the ad was interesting because, you know, they only started promoting themselves on TV a month before, I think, the ad is going to launch. And, you know, this is a brand that, like, gained a lot of its popularity through social media, word of mouth, you know, like
influencers for sure.
Right, exactly. So, you know, to like make that decision, especially like last minute, like I thought was kind of bold and interesting. And to not have to use a celebrity, I thought was interesting as well. And the whole ad, the idea is like, you know, showing images of people drinking Poppy and different things like that. But this idea of, you know, the future of soda is now, I think is an interesting idea. It's basically trying to replace, you know, what these legacy brands have looked like to millions of Americans for years. And I just thought that was a good insight. The future of soda is now, thanks to Poppy. Like,
reframing how we view soda as healthy. They've been preaching that in their social ads and their influencer outreach. I knew that, of course, that it's a healthier soda. It's got probiotics, and now they're taking that to the largest stage. And I think that's interesting that Poppy is doing that, because it is kind of like an arms race right now. I feel like I don't know what the market share is. Of course, I'm not marketing. I don't that stuff.
But what are we, professionals? No.
I like that they're going up, you know, they're first to it. They beat Olipop, right? That's got to mean something. But I'm sure Olipop might actually increase shares too, or increase volume, sales volume as well, if they're looking up Olipop, if they're looking up Poppy. You know, similar names too. I get them kind of confused. So maybe Poppy will have more brand awareness consideration. Mm-hmm. The marketing funnel will increase for them because of the Super Bowl ad. But it's a lot of money too. So that is a really interesting strategic decision from Poppy.
In the story we wrote on the ad, there were, you know, sources who speculated that, you know, it's kind of an arm race for Poppy and Olipop to reach that $1 billion valuation so they can eventually sell. And maybe that's the case, right? But when I saw the ad, it seemed to me like the insight was maybe people don't realize Poppy is soda, or they don't equate it as much as they should. Because if you watch the ad, it's very much like Poppy is soda, like, you know, and it's I thought that was interesting, you know, because maybe the challenge is like, if you think it's healthy, you think it's not a soda. Maybe it's a sparkling water, or maybe, you know, like, and they're like, no, this is what soda is. So we'll see if that resonates, but interesting choice.
Good one. Volkswagen, you put on the list. What do you think about this one? Tell us about Volkswagen here. It's a long one. Do you know how many slots that they have for this, or is it a minute? Because they have a 2 minute.
I think it's a minute. There is a 2 minute version. I do recommend that, like, if you're an ad nerd or if you're a car nerd or you just like good films, I would recommend watching the 2 minute ad. It basically, you know, it shows like the Volkswagen Beetle when it first came out, and how, you know, it was very different from a lot of the traditional cars that were out at the time. And it shows the 75-year history of the Volkswagen. You know, this ad from Johannes Leonardo, their longtime like creator of AOR. You know, it comes on the 75th anniversary for the car brand, and I forgot the exact wording of the end, but it's essentially like, you know, the reason the car brand is what it is because of the people that made it what it is essentially the end of the tagline. And, you know, I thought it was just beautifully shot to just show like the different eras and generations of people and how maybe in the beginning, people were looking at this car like it's kind of weird. And at the end of the ad, it shows like a couple walking in, you know, the girl like looks back at the car, like almost like, you know, I maybe think of that meme with the couple walking and then the girl looking at back. Like maybe some, yeah, looking back or at some guy or something. But it's like, you know, it has changed. And I thought that was just a beautifully shot video.
I hope it captures attention at the Super Bowl parties. For us, the ad nerds out there, we've watched it. We appreciate it. I just worry sometimes that those longer, more narrative-driven, less punchy ads might get lost.
Right. It's a good point. And like, you know, it depends also the timing of when the ad comes out. I don't remember the exact quarter, but you know, sometimes something big just happened in the game and everybody's just talking about what happened in the game. You know, so it's so unpredictable sometimes that, you know, an ad like that could get overshadowed by, you know, maybe there's a more like someone re-upped on wings or something. I don't know. But it's just like, we'll see. But I think you're right. Narrative driven ads do have that challenge when it comes to Super Bowl.
If I was a diamond company, I would put something in the fourth quarter and be like, big announcement from Travis Kelce coming at the end.
What if it's just nothing? Oh, and then it's just nothing, imagine. No, it would be like a discount. You might piss off a lot of people. I don't know. I don't know if you want to get the Swifties angry.
No, I feel like the Swifties like Kelce or whatever. Well, I'm not an expert. But isn't there speculation that he's going to propose?
Where isn't there speculation when it comes to Taylor Swift? Yeah, there is that speculation. First, she has to get there, I think. I think that's She'll the big there. Question. Will she make it?
I think she will. It's a 13-hour flight, right?
Yeah, that's nothing.
She got to stop in Hawaii, I believe.
Yeah.
I saw a TikTok. So, yeah, true. I think that's about it, though. There's E-Trade Babies Are Back. Kia's figure skater EV ad is beautiful. No celebrity in there. I got to give a shout out to Etsy and their cheese board ad made by Orchard, my guy, David Kolbush. He's awesome. That Etsy one's hilarious. It's like, we find like the US. I don't think there's any celebs. My pop culture knowledge is just.
No, I didn't see any, but maybe I'm wrong. I didn't see any.
That one's good. Definitely you should watch out for that one, Etsy cheese board. It's basically back. The U.S. gives a gift back to France for the Statue of Liberty. Yeah. And they're like, what are the French like? And then somebody's like, cheese. So they Etsy a cheese board to them. They love it. Hard Knock Life. I don't know what it's actually called, but it's like the girl confidence. It's really strong insight. Nothing surprised me like there. Like just great work that they've, that extension of real beauty. It seemed like the girl confidence of collaboration with Nike. Is that correct, Brian?
Yeah, it was research done by, you know, in collaboration with Nike. And they found that, you know, I believe 45% of women or young women stop playing sports because of how they feel about their bodies. And, you know, I just think that, like, again, like that's a great, you know, insight or statistic to latch and a big idea onto.
And that's, you know, for the aspiring advertisers out there listening, you know, what you should be, that is Dove. They figured it out. And I don't know if they were with Ogilvy. I feel like they've always do these with Ogilvy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One insight, and where I get a little worried about the Poppy ad, actually, is there's like a bunch of reasons to believe. I feel like I'm not sure. You know, I watched it maybe twice, so I got a little lost there trying to figure out what the messaging was. But with Dove, it's so clear. It's, you know, one insight, create around that, reason to believe, whatever you want to call it, very simple messaging, meaningful. So you can't not love the Dove.
And look, Dove has been known for this. It's not like, and that's the other thing too, when you talk about brands, staying true to who they are. Dove has been setting the state, like they do this. This is what they do. They do
purpose, meaningful, right? Consistent, and they back it up. You got to love it. So no celebrities in all these. I think those are the big ones. I'm sure there's going to be more. I'm sure we missed some, but you know, everybody's covering how I feel like, you know, there's a lot of celebrities in this Super Bowl. So I'm glad that we gave some love to these non-celeb ads.
For sure. And, yeah.
And, you know, every, you know, how we will usually do this show, Brian, this is a special, but we usually will probably highlight big news going on in the industry. So we got to go over at least three topics: agency news, stuff people should know. Let's hammer through them. And so what's been going on in the agency world? What's enlighten us, Brian?
Yeah. And by the way, every episode special, Gino, that's the point. Every episode special, but
that's right.
Look, three agency topics, you know, I mean, there's so much constantly going on the agency beat. It's very interesting. We talked about AI. That's not just for brands. That's a big topic for agencies. You know, WPP and Publicis announced two major plans to invest hundreds of millions of dollars in AI over the coming years.
Not going away.
And what's interesting with that announcement, Publicis, you know, they announced their AI tool, Core AI, which will sit basically across all the entire holding company.
Thousand employees at least,
right? And they're obviously rolling it out slowly. But the idea is this will impact every major, you know, category within their operations. So this will affect operations. This will affect creative. This will affect media. And, you know, they showcase the tools, and WPP also showcased their own WPP open tool. And, it, you know, again, I keep talking about this like arms race to prove who knows the most AI and who's the best at it. And it couldn't have been more clear than, you know, when those two announcements came out. The idea is if you're a media planner at Publicis and you get an alert from the AI. This is one example. You can get an alert from the AI where, you know, if you're working for a car brand and maybe a certain dealership has run out, or dealerships in a certain area have run out of a certain car, do you flip your messaging to promote something else? And now a media planner gets that AI alert. They can then use generative AI within all the same platform. It's like you're using a dashboard, right? And, you know, you can then change the image. You can then change the messaging using AI within seconds. Normally, this probably would have taken a few phone calls to different people if it's a big emergency, especially, right? You know, that changes things. That changes how things are done. I'm curious to see how this will affect the way that these holding companies charge for their services, right? A lot of times there are hourly rates. You know, how are you going to shift your structure if something that took maybe a week is now taking a day, right? How do you account for the value that you are creating using AI, right? So I think that's kind of the next step that I think holding companies have to prove. But we'll see, you know, we'll see.
It's a great call.
The other one, you know, there were some big creative moves this past 2 weeks, I would say. One was a creative actually moving to the CEO role, Danny Robinson. You know, if you're not familiar with him, you should be. The longtime chief creative officer at Martin Agency. You know, by the way, he had a hand in the Oprah Winfrey, You Get a Car thing. You know what I'm talking about?
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You get a car.
Yeah, yeah, right. Exactly. And so Danny Robinson, he will be taking over as CEO of the Martin Agency, which, you know, does ads for brands like Geico, Anheuser-Busch, you know, DoorDash, and more, you know. And that's a big, I think that's a big deal personally.
Was Kristen, yeah. Is it taking over Kristen's role? Or because Kristen's at, is like the head of Mullen Lowe or something, right?
Yeah, she took a dual role as the CEO of Mullen Lowe. And, you know, this is, you know, I guess a way for her to, you know, spend more attention on Mullen Lowe's side. Which, you know, I think Kristen has always been known to make unique hires and not be afraid to, you know, go against the status quo. And to hire a creative to become a CEO is not only on its own like a big deal. You don't see that a lot unless you are a founder of an agency. But, you know, Danny Robinson now becomes one of the few Black CEOs in the agency world, in the industry. And that's a big deal.
Big time.
Susan Cradle, another big creative. She's going to be taking it. She was the lead creative at FCB globally. And now she will be an IPG advisor, overseeing and helping creative across the holding company.
Yeah.
With that move, Andres Ordonez is now the global CCO at FCB. And, you know, that's, you know, Susan Cradle, another trailblazer, another person that's been in the industry for a long time, a female creative. You know, I just think these are two really big moves. And, you know, they're not just big, but they're diverse moves and something, and two iconic kind of creatives, you know?
Yep.
So I just wanted to give a shout out to that.
Totally.
I don't know if you had any thoughts on that, but
it makes sense to me. I got to give a shout out to my boss, Myra Nussbaum, dual creative. She's the president and CCO of Chicago.
Yeah.
I think another, you know, she's been there for 2 years now. And, you know, anytime that you, I love when agencies invest in creative in the C-suite, and to see the, like Danny get to that level as a CEO, it makes a better case for the industry and creatives out there that there is, like, there's larger ambitions that creativity can manage, creativity can drive business. So I'm all for that. I think that's a win for the whole industry, for creative agencies all around the world. We love to see that type of stuff.
And the last one I want to shout out in terms of agency news was that me and my colleague, Lindsay Rittenhouse, who's just outstanding and, you know, it's just great to work with. We worked on this story about we've seen an influx of high profile agency acquisitions in the last, I would say, 3 to 4 months. You know, not just acquisitions, but mergers, right? You look at the VML merger.
Yep.
You look at, you know, Accenture Song acquiring Work & Co. You know, you look at Gut selling a majority stake to...
I forgot about that. Yeah. To what was it? Globant?
Globant. Yeah. Which, you know, a lot of people told me they hadn't heard of before that. And yeah. And you know, I think it just... Ativo Group, another marketing services / consulting company, buying Deutsche New York, which is different than Deutsche LA, and Hill Holliday. Deutsche LA will remain with IPG.
Okay.
Important. You know, a lot of people don't, you know,
I
keep
up with
agency stuff. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, those two entities have separated a couple of years ago, but it just, you know, was so interesting to us that we wanted to take a deep dive and see what do people think will happen in 2024 in terms of acquisitions. You know, Andrew Essex, you know, an executive at Tata Consultancy. It's one of the largest consultancies in the world. Especially their main roots are in India. But they are, like, you know, looking to acquire agencies as well and things like that. And, you know, he saw this as a move that these recent acquisitions as something that will continue to shift the industry in the next 2 years. You know, I think IPG selling two of its like legacy agencies, you don't see that often. So I am expecting to see private equity firms, you know, look into the digital space. AI is a big conversation. I think right now, PE firms and consultants, while they would love to invest in AI agencies, there are not many that are proving that they, like, it's still a little too early, right? To say that you are a AI agency. There are small AI agencies like Supernatural, you know, that have proven themselves, but can you prove it at scale, right? And I think, so there's a wait and see approach there, but, you know, design is still a big thing. You know, we heard a lot of different independent agencies that people have been looking at. You know, Mojo Supermarket actually gave us a statement that, you know, they've never entertained any offers and they don't know where these rumors are coming from, but the fact is people are looking at them. You know, Tombras, another independent agency, is getting interest. I heard Collins is getting interest. And so you might see, you know, your favorite agency change owners this year, but we'll see about that. But it's something that I think everyone could benefit from looking at, especially if you're trying to enter the industry, just to see like where are people heading, you know, is working at a consultant a good move?
And look at the recent acquisitions too of the people like a couple of years ago. Look at Droga5, now an Accenture. Like, do your own research and see how the work has changed and if that's still the agency that you want to go to, or, you know, see the impact, wait it out. You know, just be cognizant of that happening. I think that's a great call out. I remember being at Droga5, raising my hand as a student in college, right as the news broke. And I asked them, are you worried about the culture changing and the creative work changing? And they said with a resounding confidence, nothing will change. So I asked that question and I'm still looking, and, you know, the verdict's still out on if, on how that has affected, obviously, because David Droga has gone up. But I love that. I want to also know breaking and entering media is getting looked at by all these same firms.
I'm sure. Yeah. Look, man, I mean, look, some people have different strategies, right? Sometimes it's about selling. Sometimes you don't even think about it, right?
Yeah. Like, and sometimes it's a beautiful fit and it works. Mm-hmm. It's a good marriage and you can tap into all the data of that firm or of that consultancy or whatever it might be. And sometimes there is a real benefit, mutually beneficial aspect of it. So, and there's a lot smarter people than myself making those decisions.
And the one last thing, this is kind of outside of the industry a little bit, but related to it. I just wanted to give a quick shout out. I thought it was just funny and interesting. And you've seen that new Apple spot with the plug that's singing and it's lonely because, you know, like, Apple phones last so long, I think you don't need to charge them. So
yeah, the first couple months.
Right, exactly. So I thought that was a funny ad. And, you know, so if you haven't seen it, there's a outlet that's just like singing about how lonely it is. And the singer of that song, Doughboy, a Cleveland, Ohio rapper, you know, since the ad has gone out, like, he got a shout out from LeBron James and his streams increased by over 200% after that commercial aired. Shout out to the source for, you know, reporting that. But yeah, I mean, you know, this rapper that maybe a lot of people don't know, getting that exposure is just so huge.
Brands are powerful, especially Apple. I mean, using your resources and using the brand's voice to elevate maybe those that are underrepresented is super powerful and super and worth noting. And whether or not they plan that, that's awesome. Like, all brands should take a note out of that and like entertaining different voices in the ads or on screen, off screen, behind the screen. Super important. And I love that you brought that up. And we'd love to see that.
But yeah, that's all I had for you on that. Appreciate it.
We did it, Brian. Fun episode. We covered Super Bowl. We covered Puppy Bowl. You got your new puppy. We'll be back. I think if anybody's listening and they have comments and they want to reach out, you can DM the Breaking and Entering LinkedIn page with ideas, what you want to hear next. We're always open for it. We can we'll take any comments. So Brian, great job. First episode in the books. Yeah. We'll be back in a couple of weeks.
It's only up from here. Thanks, Gino. Right. I appreciate it.
Rock and roll.